Hi, and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 81. Originally, it was myself, Proteus, and Zelda Queen, and then I had recording issues, which I seem to be having a lot of lately, so I'm going to have to figure out what I'm doing that's causing things to get so messed up, but we lost the original recording. So instead of copying out again this time, I'm just going to go ahead and go over what we spoke about, try and touch on everything that they mentioned, and hopefully we'll get a good podcast out of this. So let's begin, shall we? First thing on our list was they had watched the last Airbender movie, the one by great M. Night Shyamalan. And I guess to say they watched it would be an exaggeration. They jumped around the movie just to see how bad it actually is. And it lived up to expectations on being the worst movie it could have been. The ethnicities of the characters were wrong for the show. Their personalities were completely wrong for the show. And the acting, they would have gotten better acting if they would have actually just painted the characters onto wooden boards. And apparently also the special effects were just horrible. And that's really surprising, seeing how it came from LucasArts. I mean, these people are supposed to be great at special effects, and apparently they couldn't even bring this movie out of the gutter that it was spawned from. So why is it so bad? Well, besides everything that I just mentioned. One of the things that they brought up was the fact that when they break Aang out of the ice bubble, Sokka wants to actually go and just kind of run off thinking it's in a firebender trap, which makes a lot of sense. Well, Katara just runs up and starts hitting it with her, Sokka's boomerang. Doesn't say, hey, look, there's somebody in the ice. She just starts banging on the ice, the sphere. Maybe if she had said somebody's in the ice, I would have given the reason for attacking the ice circle, sphere, whatever you want to call it. But basically they did. They just kind of broke it open. And then that brings Aang into the world, and he's a very serious Aang. He's not the light-hearted Aang, which in the movie they pronounce as Aang instead of Aang. So they couldn't even pronounce it right. Anywho, so it just, that didn't start well. The bending didn't follow the martial arts that it's supposed to be based on, so they failed on that. And then apparently the firebenders, only really powerful firebenders, could create their own fire. Otherwise, they would have to have a source of fire in order to firebend, which is nothing like the cartoon series. So fail on that. And then when they were doing, apparently about half the movie was the battle at the South Pole, even though it's supposed to contain the entire frickin' first season, they just do half the movie as a North Pole battle, which I guess I can see since they have to fit, you know, the entire thing into a feature, the entire first season to feature length. But yeah, apparently during there when Aang raises the ocean up, he doesn't actually throw it at the firebender army. He just raises it up, tilts it over to them, and then brings it back down. So yeah, not real threatening. Well, I guess you could see how it's threatening, but it didn't seem as threatening. But yeah, so we are actually planning on trying to watch the entire movie sometime, but before we do that, we're going to go buy the Rift Tracks over on the Rift Tracks site. I think it was like $3.99, and that could actually make the movie enjoyable. I mean, it couldn't make it worse, true? And since we're on movies, I recently saw the Captain America movie. Now, this was actually a good movie. So, in the Captain America movie, it is, well, about Captain America, basically his origins. And the way the movie starts is it shows them finding him frozen in the ice, which they do get to how he got frozen in the ice throughout the movie. It's one of those things, you know, this is where it starts and this is where it ends, and it's about the journey. You basically see him going from little skinny guy that's probably about 5 feet nothing to being, you know, 6.5 feet something, real bulky and strong. he is a Boy Scout. He doesn't want to necessarily hurt people. He just wants to stop people from hurting others. And when he starts in, he gets the super serum, and he's given a choice between Lab Rat or Bail Bonds sales guy. So he ends up going with the Bail Bonds because he feels at least he can be a little more useful than just sitting around and constantly getting poked with needles. Which I can't blame him, really. But fortunately, that does eventually get him overseas, where he's given the chance to prove his mettle as an actual soldier. And then from there, he starts taking down Hydra base after Hydra base after Hydra base with his team that he sets up. The movie's actually really good. If you're not a big fan of superhero movies, don't worry. It's more of a war movie than you would think, with a slight science fiction tinge. But it is really good. I advise that if you have any interest in this sort of thing, go check it out. And then next year, we are going to be treated to the Avengers movie, which is supposed to air in May, now that we've gotten the entire teams kind of assembled. We've had our Hulk movie, our Iron Man movie, our Thor movie, and our Captain America movie. So we have our intro Avengers all set up and ready for us. Moving from there, I also recently watched the Your Highness on Blu-ray. If you're just looking for a spoof fantasy, this probably isn't really going to be up your line. If you're looking, it's a very raunchy humor. They make a lot of sexual jokes, not even innuendos. They're just outright sexual jokes. The unrated version really isn't that much different. They maybe added 5 minutes from the theatrical version. So you don't, if you've already seen it once and you just want to rent it for the theatrical, for the unrated, don't worry about it. You're not missing anything. But overall, it's a fun movie to watch if you haven't seen it at least once. Natalie Portman's character is much more bloodthirsty than I expected her to be honest, but it was entertaining. And then the rest of the characters, such as Danny McBride, was entertaining. He had no reason whatsoever to be where he was in the quest, as they put it. But it was pretty fun. Let's see, and then where we go from there? Well, I was already talking about Captain America, but I did also watch the first season of The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, on Netflix. They have the entire first season streaming from 1 to, I think it's 25. And it basically covers an arc where Loki tries to take over Asgard. It doesn't really introduce it straight off that way. You know Loki is up to something in the one where they introduce Thor. And basically the entire season plays out on what he's done in order to affect his takeover. Which he does almost succeed at pretty well. Of course, where's the fun of a superhero movie if the villain doesn't almost win? But I highly advise, if you haven't seen the cartoon series and you like the Avengers or just superheroes shows in general, it's a good watch, especially for something that originally aired on Disney XD, apparently. And then season 2 is going to be bringing us into the secret invasion, where the Skrulls start to infiltrate Earth to try and take it over. I won't give any spoilers, but the very last episode ends in a way where you kind of got to wonder, so what's going to happen from here? Let's see, Zelda Queen and Proteus started to rewatch an old anime series called Samurai Champloo. Now, this series was done by the same people that did Cowboy Bebop. And if you liked Bebop, you will most likely like Samurai Champloo. The three main characters of it are Fu, Mugen, and Jin. Now, Fu is the young girl that's actually kind of the glue that ties the series together. She's trying to find the samurai who smells of sunflowers. And she has a little friend called a flying squirrel named Momo that just kind of accompanies her as a friend. Let's see. And then Mugen and Jin are two samurai, which kind of got into it in the very first episode, and now they just want to constantly battle each other to find out who's better. Mugen is much more brash, while Jin is kind of reserved and much more calculating. it's an interesting dynamic between the two because they're each really good in their own sense, but they are completely opposites. Mugen's a bit more hot-headed than, say, Spike from Cowboy Bebop. But at the same time, he's, I don't know, they're close to the same, but they are different. It's hard to truly explain, but he is more brash. But he's also, no, he is just as cocky. Yeah, I guess that's the best way to put it. He's brash and cocky as Spike. He's a brasher than Spike and about as cocky as Spike is. But it is an interesting show. They do outright say that this show is not whatsoever historically accurate, and it appears to take place in the Edo period. But yeah, it's not historically right. They just kind of use that time period. There is some nice music in the series. In fact, that's one of the big things. Like, they actually had made a Samurai Champloo cart video game a while back, and one of the special moves once you started to do it were their two records appeared on the screen, and they started scratching them. So, it's a good series. I actually do highly recommend it if you have never watched it before. Go ahead. I believe it is also on Netflix. Yes, it is in Netflix, and it is in the Instant Stream, so you can watch that from your I don't know, whatever device you use, be it computer, Xbox, PS3, Nintendo DS, Nintendo 3DS, or your specific iPhone or Android phone that supports it. So yeah, let's see. And then we also talked about the Red 3DS coming out next month. Now that the Nintendo 3DS has dropped price by about $80, it's a bit more affordable. And when Star Fox come out, I believe it's September 9th, you'll also get the option of getting a Red 3DS, which is something Zelda Queen is really looking forward to once she can actually put together the money to afford it. Being a new homeowner, I know how that makes you completely freaking broke. But all in all, it's good. But yeah, the Red 3DS, Star Fox for the 3DS. Hopefully it'll actually be a different game than Star Fox 64. It should be. It does have some neat gyroscopic controls, and of course it's obviously in 3D. Personally, I'm not sure how well those two will work together since you need to keep the 3DS a proper distance from you in order for the 3D to work properly, from my experience. But hey, we'll see more as we go. In news that we didn't talk about in the original one, the PS3 did recently have a worldwide price drop. It went from your base model went from being $300 to $250, or $249.99. However you want to look at it, it's basically $250. So one of my coworkers actually had just purchased one a few weeks ago too. So it's like, well, if you still got your receipt, you can try and go and return it and then buy a new one. But then he loses any game saves he has, and he was almost through God of War, the first one from the compilation pack they did. So it's iffy if whether or not he'll actually do that. If he doesn't, I won't blame him. And it is worth it, depending on if $50 is worth his time to have to repack up everything, go back to the store, deal with exchanging it, and then just having to rebuy it. And then let's see, what else did Sony do? They announced that the PS Vita, while it would be released holiday in Japan, in Europe and the Americas, we're going to have to wait until probably March 2012. That's a guess. I just said sometime 2012. So basically next year we have to wait for the PS Vita. Although I do have to wonder about the PS Vita. It has a 3G connection. Do we really need another device that has a 3G connection? And that means another data plan to go with the 3G connection. And AT&T, really, people? Do you really want another AT&T debacle like was with the iPhone? I mean, that's bad. Everybody knows that they don't have the greatest coverage everywhere. And what is with this 3G thing? Where aren't we supposed to be moving towards the 4G networks? Why aren't they trying to incorporate the newer technology into this to at least make it a little more useful? But I digress. So yeah, we're gonna have the PS Vita, which is gonna have a 3G model and a Wi-Fi model. Which, in the event that I even bother to get this, it'll be the Wi-Fi model because I have no purpose to get the 3G model. I would just pay for the hotspot on my phone. So yeah, that's it. Okay. So why are we getting all these 3G devices when we can just get hotspots on our phones? Just pay a little extra a month for that, and then you have your wire, your anywhere connection for these extra devices. There's no point in having a bill, having like three or four different wireless plans because you have different devices that all need a 3G connection. But I digress. That's actually about all I really have right now. Oh, one last thing. The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. A while back, we had predicted that it would come out on November 2nd. Apparently, we had the 0 and the 2 transposed on our original guess, and it has actually been announced as coming out on November 20th. So, we can look forward to the next round of whatever you want to do with, whatever you want to consider, puzzle solving, Ganon slaying, princess rescuing, and in this case, bird riding, on the 20th. And that means we have a full 9 days to play Skyrim before we switch to another game. This holiday, this next few months is going to be freaking expensive, people. We got Gears of War 3 coming out here soon. Then we have Batman Arkham Asylum the next month. Then we have a slew of games coming out in November. And knowing our luck, we're going to end up with the Star Wars The Old Republic coming out in December 2. And then let's not even think about Diablo 3. Where do they expect us to get this money and free time to play this deluge of games? Have they not heard of spreading things out a little bit? I mean, the summer is basically a drought most of the time. It's very hard to find something to actually play that's decent. Ay, ay, ay. Anywho, with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off for the day. If you want to go ahead and shoot us an email, you can do so by sending mail to mail@thegameslave.com. You can also visit us at thegameslave.com, where you can comment on any of our posts. And if you would like to join the forums, shoot an email to forums@thegameslave.com. Tell me what username you would like, and I'll go ahead and get it set up and send you a temporary password. In the meantime, have a great week, and game on!